This is Robin Philpott, and he's the publisher of Baraka Books. And Robin, the big question today, we want to make sure we ask you, you're a publisher. We're having a very noticeable little crisis of, I don't know if I use the word little, closing of bookstores and problems with a famous distributor, I guess you call it that, Amazon. There's a New York Times recently treated the clash between an American publisher, a Hachette, I think it's called, and one of whose authors is Stephen Colbert. So Colbert is beginning to pick up a fight here. But where is this? You're in Quebec, and there are laws. There are things governments can do. Is it environment, Quebec environment for publishers, any different than it here is here in Ontario?
It's very different. When I say we, the Quebec Publishers Association, and I was involved in it. We finally encouraged Publishers Weekly to do a special on Quebec publishing, where we explained how Quebec has survived the demise of what they call brick and mortar bookstores in North America, and the reason being. That just as an interesting statistic, of all the books purchased in Canada, half of them are purchased in Quebec. And Quebec represents maybe 23% of the population or 22% of the population in Canada. So half of the books bought are in Quebec, which shows that there's a healthy book industry still. Another interesting point, we were talking about Mick Lowe's, the great book, The Raids.
Yes, I want to ask you it.
It's being sold in Sudbury. It's doing very well, but there's only one bookstore in Sudbury for a population of 160,000 people. One single bookstore in Chicoutimi, which is a city smaller than Sudbury, maybe 130,000 people. They have about six or eight bookstores. Now, this all comes from in the period of the Quiet Revolution in Quebec in the 60s and 70s. They said, if we're going to have a national literature and book industry and libraries and bookstores, we have to regulate the market. And they took their inspiration from European models, where they created what you have as certified publishers, certified bookstores, certified distributors, and there's all kinds of aspects to this law which make it necessary, for example, for institutions, libraries, to purchase their book at the list price from a registered or a certified bookstore in their region, and they have to spread them around. In other words, it's, as a result, you have small bookstores have guaranteed sales to institutions at the regular list price. If I say a book doesn't cost $20, the library's got to pay $20 for it. The rest of North America, it's a bidding process. So with a small bookstore like our friends at a different book list have to bid against Indigo when they want to sell books to schools, libraries, whatever. And of course they can't compete. They're not forced to pay the list price. And there's a whole bunch of aspects to the law which has meant that Quebec's book industry has not gone the way of North America's book industry.
Yeah, and when you say book industry, you're meaning the brick and mortar, the guys with the store, and then the publishers.
Well, the publisher, the author, the writer. In other words, I cannot be a registered or a certified Quebec publisher unless I guarantee that my royalties are paid to authors. In other words, it's all kinds of protection because everybody knows the stories of authors who never get paid.
Yes.
That's why it was created all this business about having agents, because authors can't defend themselves against big publishers. So it's just a regulated market.
Yeah. By the way, if it's not, people say, "Well, the word regulation hurts their ear," but monopoly ought to really hurt their ear because monopoly is regulation, guaranteeing
it's regulation
profit
by power.
Yeah, guaranteeing profit for somebody, a mysterious somebody.
Yeah. Now, the Quebec book industry, I just know from fellow publishers in Canada, they just when I tell them some of the conditions, they say, "I wish we were in Quebec." Mm-hmm. I mean, it's simple as that. Now we are having difficulties now because of there's new conditions, Amazon and so on, and that's why up until the election, there was a very serious possibility that Quebec would legislate further to have what they call a single price, a fixed price for new books. Mm-hmm. In other words, you can't discount it more than, say, 5%. Mm-hmm. Now, that may sound like small stuff, but it means it's the bread and butter for a small bookstore, because mm-hmm. a small bookstore will sell bestsellers and have a collection. Mm-hmm. Now, the big bookstores and the big you know, the Walmarts and Costcos, what they'll do is they'll just take the bestsellers and deep discount them, you know, knock off 20-30%, and force publishers to give them more of a greater percentage. Mm-hmm. And the publisher and author just can't resist by themselves. I mean, Colbert can do it because he's a well-known man, but the ordinary yes. writer just can't do it. So,
yes.
But then the Liberals came into power a month ago or 2 months ago, and the first thing they said is, "We're not going to have a fixed price." Now, I should say that there's the set price for new books is the norm in France, in Germany, in Italy, in Spain, in Mexico, in most of the world, but mm-hmm. not in the English-speaking world.
Oh, talk about that, by the way. Mexico, too, has laws on this. Mexico has
a fixed book law. I'm not sure the percentage, but a new book has to be sold at the list price minus a maximum of 5%. Mm-hmm. In other words, you can't have the Walmarts going in there and say, "Well, listen, we're gonna give you a deep discount, you know, 20%, 25%," which, in effect, kills the small bookstore,
mm-hmm.
because you'll have people going to a small bookstore, and they look at their books and then they say, "Well, I'm going to go buy it at that place because they'll give me another 20% off."
Yes,
and so it just means that. And of course, you know, a place like Walmart or Costco they're not going to carry the other books, the books that are not bestsellers but are important contributions, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of effects of this. Is you know, bookstores are part of community, and I've just noticed in English Canada, when I Thunder Bay and Sudbury, for example. You know, people like bookstores, but there just aren't any now. You know, it's part of a general community, and it's been killed, basically.
Yeah, by the way, yeah, when you think of San Francisco, you think of City Lights Books. People
right.
go there to have their picture taken in front of the store and to
yeah.
just stroll through it, almost like, well, you went to San Francisco and you went to City Lights Books.
Right.
And then there's, you know, there's Kerouac Street, and there's Ginsberg Avenue and Jack
right.
London. Yeah, you're right. It's a community, and
they contribute to it, but basically they've been killed now. You know, anybody who wants to propose a cultural policy has to look at these questions, and you know, has to start saying, well, either if we're going to have a cultural policy, either we regulate the market and mm-hmm. find ways to keep it working so that publishers, writers, bookstores are viable, or we just hand out money all the time
mm-hmm.
and as grants, which, you know, which is basically what's happening in Canada now, unfortunately. It becomes a question of grants because we want to keep a cultural industry instead of
yeah.
saying, well, listen, this market, we could do things to defend our culture. In
mm-hmm.
other words, Quebec things, you have to have. We have a printing industry here which provides prints for all of Canadian publishers
mm-hmm.
in Quebec because we get tax credits if we print here instead of printing offshore.
Mm-hmm.
And so the printers here print for publishers in Toronto and elsewhere
uh-huh.
or in New Brunswick or mm-hmm. elsewhere because here we've created you know, they thought it out as a whole. And I think it had to do with Quebec's problems and sort of like the quiet revolution. They said, well, listen, if we're going to exist, we've got to have a literature, we've got to have all these cultural instruments. And so that's where the law was devised in the 70s. It was adopted in 81. And it needs to be updated, but that's right now we can't. We're not gonna, people are not going to count on the Liberals to do it.
It is interesting. A number of issues came up. Marois was, the government was defeated, but in now that that's passed and you start seeing return to issues like Megantic and the question of the students and then publishing, you start to notice there's a bunch of matters here that the population of Quebec is going to be concerned about.
Absolutely.
That government could easily have a misstep.
As when it was
previously there and they fought with the students.
Yeah.
I bet they're revisiting quietly the policy on students in tuition, are they not?
Well, about a week ago there was a dust up here because the Minister of Education said they had not ruled out increasing tuition fees. and then there was people got all angry and everything. So then they backed down and said, it'll just be indexed to the cost of living. So that seems to be what they're doing. But they're obviously, they're treading softly because they saw what happened before.
Well, that was what brought them down, I guess, was a key moment.
Yeah.
But after all, if the man's a burglar, he's going to go back to being a burglar.
Right.
So...
exactly.
This is Robin Philpott, and of course, we're clarifying this issue. By the way, I want to remind people or tell people that we have a wonderful bookstore here called Theater Book, so at 101 Spadina, and they're going to be closing on July 18. And we were told a vivid story on the Friday morning program at CIUT of how people visit the store, ask for a book if they've got it, and then they bring it out, and then they take a picture of it and go home and order it.
Yeah. There you go.
Is that happening? That happen? Have you ever? Does that happen in bookstores in Quebec?
Well, it would because, and this was the debate about the fixed price, the set price that you would have a set price that you couldn't go under. And when Quebec was toying with the idea, and they had parliamentary hearings, and I went and presented a brief on it for representing a group of publishers, Amazon hired several lobbyists to go and try and. Put the squeeze on the Quebec government, the Marois government. So they
did just you win that one? Can we put this in the win or loss column?
Yeah.
You did.
The other thing is France and Germany
are
having a major fight with Amazon on this, and they say there's no way you cannot operate in our territory unless you respect our laws. And so, it can be done. But it does take a certain amount of political will and an understanding of the importance. I think that the policies against regulating the book market, because books are not the same thing as buying milk or something like that. They make a great contribution to it. It's an anti-intellectualism. They probably don't want a lot of these books out, you know.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. No. There's in U.S., in France, Canada, major book can change people the way it changes the agenda around.
Sure.
People still talk. I saw yesterday General Petraeus is telling everybody to read a particular book. And you say, well, you see what's going to happen, and people are going to read that book. You say, it's like a culture war.
Yeah.
And culture wars, by the way, are permanent. They go on all the time. And certainly books are at the center of it. I remember the great exchange between Pierre Trudeau and René Lévesque, and Trudeau said to him, where's your book? A little bit of a snobbish argument, but he got his answer, by the way. But anyhow, this is Robin Philpott. The publisher of Baraka Books. Let's talk for a few moments before we let you go about the raid. That is, now that's stirring things up some. I noticed that in Manitoba, Thompson, Manitoba, they were part of this struggle involving the two unions, mine mill and smelter workers and United Steel Workers. And their local and their labor papers are talking about mixed book.
And
what sort of things are you hearing as reaction?
Well, I'll
to the
just
book?
Tell you how it happened. It was Dave Patterson said, "Listen, you know, these people up in Thompson, Manitoba, and Trail, BC, they went through the same story that happened in Sudbury." And so, we got in touch with the local newspapers, and they were both very happy to receive a copy. And so, the editor of the Thompson, editor-in-chief of the Thompson Citizen, wrote two articles about mixed book and recalled the history of the raids there and what it meant and how serious it was and how the scars were still there. And so, you know, and apparently the local union is buying copies as well.
Well, the scars and the lessons, you know, it's very interesting, steelworkers, how they've evolved. When you and Mick, you were at the launch of the book in Sudbury with Mick Lowe, I understand people showed up with jackets from both unions, and a lot of guys were having their pictures taken together. And there's been a lot of thought now from people who participated. I mean, after, you have to remember that Mick's book describes a wonderful community of Sudbury torn apart by a fight over which union you should belong to, which involved larger arguments about the Cold War, so-called, and political movements, and McCarthyism. And it's people have to understand that that was at the heart of a very nice community where people, you know, were not talking to each other, were calling each other. There were ethnic slurs. There were religious slurs. There was violence. But now, I mean, they are once again knitted together, and they are talking openly about maybe that wasn't so smart. I mean, you know, how who got us to fight each other?
And I mean, one of the things I think I mentioned to you one time was that at the launch, a policeman came, a constable, 89-year-old constable with clippings from 1962, which told basically the same story that Mick did with, you know, about the siege of the Mine Mill Hall, and he was there. And when the bunch of right-wingers who were attacking the hall put up a communist flag, you know, the hammer and sickle, and he was the guy who brought it down, he showed him the pictures of it. So I have these things. He was so proud to come and
well, you know, now with websites and all that, you could probably supplement the book by saying, here's a you know, photograph from that period.
Yeah, if we reprint, we'll put it in, and we might, if we when we do the second book to it. But just one bit of news is very good, very encouraging. You know, I said that one bookstore up in Sudbury. Well, in the top, in the best-selling rack, just beside John Green and just under Thomas Piketty, is Mick Lowe's The Raids. So I sent a picture around. I think I might have sent it to you. So Mick's book is selling very well, and he's going to be signing up there on the 25th.
And we have to remind him this is the beginning. This is part of a trilogy.
Yeah.
Right? There'll be.
And the other thing is that, see, a book like his, if Canada had a book law, his book would be in all of the bookstores in Canada. In other words,
explain
standing order, but as
if,
it stands
with
now,
regulation, it would be in every.
It would be throughout. In other words, it would be a way for a Canadian book to Canada have Canadian authors talking about Canadian stories available in all bookstores. Right now, you have to battle with the chains and to get them to actually know that. We have what they call a standing order system here, where. They will order a certain number immediately, and they can return them within. So the book will be in our, if it were out here, and when we get a French version, it will probably be in all bookstores for a certain length of time.
In Quebec.
Yeah. In other words, that's another aspect of regulated market, is you have what they a standing order system, which exists in France as well. I think it exists in Mexico. I'm not sure.
Wow.
But for instance, if Mick's book, instead of us having to fight with the bookstores to say, well, you know, would you carry this book, they would have a standing order where they would take a certain number of books. Smaller bookstore would have 3, a big chain would have 15 or 20, and so the book would be there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Whereas here he has this great story. It's a story that took place in Canada. It took place in several communities. And it's like pulling teeth getting it actually into the bookstores. The bookstores that remain.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, it's
It's one. It's sad enough when they pulp a book. It's terrible when they pulp a bookstore.
Yeah.
You say, gee, I don't know. Yeah. Well, at least you pointed the way, and there is legislation. I'm not aware of anyone here actually fighting for the type of regulation the book business as that you have there. There probably are people, but I'm not aware of any party that's taken it up.
No, they're not, and it's resignation. It also is opportunism among the big publishers. Well, even the publishing industry is just reeling. In other words, Canadian publishers have been bought out by international publishers. In other words, McLellan and Stewart is no longer, it was the big Canadian publisher. It's been bought out.
Yeah, the monopoly process is happened so fast. It's like watching piranhas. I was reading the piece on Colbert fighting with Amazon and New York Times, and then I read the letters, many very smart letters, many writers, publishers. One of the writers said, I've always hated Amazon, I never do that. I've always gone to so-and-so. The next letter said, Amazon bought them. They've owned your company for 2 years.
Well, you know, one of the aspects of this of our regulation is that the distributor, the publisher, and the bookstore must be 100% Quebec-owned to be registered, to be certified.
Uh-huh.
So, in other words, it means...
We don't have that.
No. In other words, you protect the publishers, but the publishers still have to produce. In other words, they have to sell books. In other words, mm-hmm. You can't... It's not like sitting there waiting, please give me more money. In other words, you've created a conditions in which... You know, the industry should be able to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, but then you know these ideologues say, well, no, we have to let the market decide. Of course, that's just
and the market is a monopoly market.
Exactly.
Exactly a fair fight. Robin Philpott, we're very grateful to hear about the book business, to get that clarified, and maybe we got to look for a way to solve this. We have to borrow your legislation, I think.
Well, no, it is something, and also it's not just Quebec, because some people might say, oh, I don't want to buy it from Quebec. Well, you could look to Mexico. You could look to Germany. You mm-hmm. could look these international examples. The problem is the Anglo-Saxon world, as people have described it, the Anglosphere.
Chomsky calls it the Anglosphere.
Yeah, work operates as if it's alone in the world. England does not follow this, but even big publishers saying the only way to go is to regulate the market. They mm-hmm. realize it now, even though they've been, in the States. I've heard the guy McMillan has been saying we've got to follow the French example.
Good.
There are ways.
Well, it's. And we learned a lot. I really appreciate it, and we look forward to the next book from Mick Loth. Good luck with the raid.
With the raid, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Phil.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Robin Philpott, Baraka Books. That's a good site.